There's a lot of smiling as well.
Call this meeting to order. Good afternoon, everyone. Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Roll call. Scott, to my left.
Roger Childers, present.
Larry Bagshaw, present.
Thomas Reske, present.
George Gorkowski, present.
Sharon Hillman, present.
Jim Baldwin.
That's okay.
Okay, looks like we have a quorum, so we may continue on and proceed.
Should I have closed that door?
Hey, Tom, this is Corey Ellsworth.
Oh,
Corey Ellsworth on the line, also present.
I'm sorry, Corey. I see you just came on. Yeah, thank you.
Eight.
So we have six present. Good. Item number four, call for a motion to approve the minutes of July 28 regular and study session.
I motion.
I second it.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Item number five, reports to the board. Mr. Hendricks, if you would, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, board. Pleasure to be here today. Our projects are moving along. The phase one projects, Whispering Pines, we have ETC on that. It's been submitted to USDA for their approval, and we're being scheduled to get out the bids as soon as we get that approval. Cool Pines A has approval to construct as well from ADQ, and it will be submitted shortly to USDA for their approval, and then we'll also schedule bidding for that. Woodlands Heights, we're finalizing the right of entry access paperwork for the properties where we're going to be moving the water meter from the back of the lot to the front. We still have approximately five property owners to get a hold of. Following USDA approval, we expect to be out to bid the end of the summer for that project. And then White Oak Cedar Meadows, we're in the process right now of working on getting the final designs, the topography survey, and mapping are being taken care of. And again, as soon as we get the ATC and the USDA approval, we think that early fall we'll be out to bid with that project. So we have all of those projects that are coming to fruition from a standpoint of planning and permitting and approvals. So we'll have quite an active fall and early winter for getting things out to bid. And we expect to have quite a response since it's a good body of work, even though all the contractors are very busy. We'll be starting to get the word out to contractors who do this kind of work. We've already done that in somewhat, but we'll focus on that. Portals 1, 2, and 3, we're looking at the details there. Survey and blue stake is in progress. We have some preliminary estimates of cost for that project, and all of these projects are coming in substantially higher in our engineer's estimates from the previous estimates. And so we're anticipating this fall, once we get a couple of the bids out on the street and we can see what contractors are really bidding as far as cost per foot for 6-inch pipe, whether it's Cool Pines or Whispering Pines or whatever, we expect to have some pretty good solid numbers, and then we'll be back to the board looking at priorities of the amount of USDA money that we have authorized, which projects does the board want to really prioritize as we start spending through that money. We've had some challenges in this last month. We went out to bid on the deep well. We had two qualified companies, and neither one of them submitted a bid. We got feedback from them during the last week or so of the open bid time that the site was not going to be large enough for them to mobilize and operate on, and that they would likely not submit a bid, and that's exactly what happened. We also got a verbal communication from one of the drillers indicating that the well would likely cost twice as much as we had budgeted for that well. And so first issue is we don't have a site for this well because the site we had selected isn't large enough. And secondarily, it looks like the pricing for wells like this is substantially higher than we had anticipated. We also have a situation where one of the drillers that was had come to the pre-bid meeting and was intending to bid indicated that had they bid and been selected, that they would not be able to start the work until 2024. And so that gives you an idea of how busy qualified contractors are. And so it'd be a little bit of a challenge from that standpoint. We're working on a weekly basis with district staff and our weekly project meetings to really look at the existing wells that you have, both the water share wells and the wells that we own, to see what we need to do to be sure all of those are functioning in a cost-effective manner. As you recall, we went out to a procurement for qualified well servicing companies and drilling companies that could help us deepen or improve or drill new wells for all of our existing, we'll call them shallower wells. We have two companies, Weber Water Resources and KP Ventures Well Drilling and Pump Service Companies, that were selected. They're under contract. Mr. Baldwin is in communication with them right now to look at the top six or eight wells that we believe are candidates for some well services. We would expect that we'll be using the capital funds that are in the budget for these kinds of services. And as soon as we can define the scope and budget and task orders, I'm sure we'll be coming back to the board, getting concurrence on moving forward with the various kinds of work, whether that's just videoing and logging and testing the wells, or whether it's putting new equipment in, making the improvements necessary to have the wells come online. Some of these wells might be a few gallons per minute, less than 10 gallons a minute. Some of them could be 20 or 25 gallons per minute. All of those wells added up can make a significant difference, and we'll be pursuing that. Mr. Baldwin and I were just out on site with the Superior Tank Company, and after Labor Day is through, they'll be scheduling to come on site and do a full rehabilitation to the K2 tank. That would be sandblasting, cleaning sandblasting, repairing any corrosion in the tank, and then recoating that tank inside and out. That work is scheduled. We also went to two other tank sites up in Strawberry that those tanks are currently out of service. And they're going to give us a report on those tanks. They did a visual inspection. And to be part of the capital asset management program the district is approving, if you keep these tanks maintained, coated, manage any corrosion that might occur, the tanks can last for 20, 30, 40 years. If you don't, then they get holes in them. And we had to demo the Canyon tank, the tanks at Canyon, because those tanks had gotten beyond the point of being feasible to service those. So under the new leadership at the district, we're very proud to be a part of looking at those important assets and doing the kind of preventative and predictive maintenance on those that should allow those to stay in operation indefinitely. We expect that during the next month or so, that the subcommittee that's looking at the details in the C.C. Cragen agreement that Payson has with the Salt River Project for that kind of water, that will be reviewing the terms and conditions of those and looking at the, that's more of a legacy project, very long term, but it's another water source, and so we'll be pursuing those. That's all I have in my report. I'd be glad to entertain any questions.
I just had a question for Sharon. The deep well, since that's going to be $4 million versus $2 million, can those funds be changed over to deepening the other wells?
No.
No.
They're US, that's USDA funds.
Deep well.
So we just lose the money?
No, we don't lose the money. We just have to take money out of other projects that we have on the list to be able to do the well.
Yeah, because I mean, you're talking $4 million versus $2 million.
Potentially, yes.
I realize we don't have it until we spend it.
Yeah, and it looks like we may not be able to spend it either.
That is going to be an issue.
Mr. Childress, the plan is, we have all these pipeline replacement projects that are scheduled.
Mm-hmm.
And as we get bids in on those, we'll have an idea of how much those projects would cost. We'll be able to project the existing ones and then any future ones. And then the board can go back to USDA and reallocate funds that were for pipeline replacement towards well is what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And of course Sharon will be talking with USDA and working out the logistics of that.
I've already notified them. I've updated them on the deep well status.
And you're anticipating as we get these costs in, we're probably going to have to narrow the scope of projects.
I believe that'll be the case. It happened with the $8 million WIPA project. We had, you know, quite a few projects that kind of moved over into the projects that we're working on now, and it's unfortunate, but we'll manage that as we go, take the highest priority.
Have we actually ordered pipeline for any of these projects at this point?
We have not.
No.
Okay. Is there any possibility of going to HDPE instead of the others to cut our costs?
Well, you can always go to a different material if it happens to be preferable.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the projects that we have, the contractors have told us and the engineers have told us that the narrow access and that sort of thing isn't conducive to being able to install HDPE. One of the contractors that's done a lot of work for the district and has done a very large amount of HDPE on other areas has said that their labor cost and associated material handling cost would offset any price difference from the standard pipe just because
Okay. There's
no room to work.
You said narrow access. What does narrow access mean with HDPE?
It means that this stuff comes in very long lengths and you have to have a large, wide, long, unobstructed area in order to lay the pipe out and then fusion weld it. And
oh, it's not on a roll?
The stuff that's on a roll is even more difficult to get it straightened out and then to have it laid properly. And
I suppose a linear pipe then.
Yeah, you can order it in straight pipe,
mm-hmm.
and then handle that, or you can order it on a roll. Both of those, the engineers and contractor that has worked here in the district and has also worked with HTP and likes it, has equipment for it and all that sort of thing, says, I don't know how I could do that in your narrow, windy, difficult
locations. Okay.
So it's an application issue more than a technology issue.
So yeah, and probably the lengths are longer, right?
Well, you can get different lengths, but you it costs you, it's not as efficient
if you can't get the 50-foot lengths, or if you can't get it on a big roller that you can just lay out and go. There was a talk at the last conference I went to where the Hopis had just put in miles of HDP, and it's wide open. There's nothing there. It was out, and there was actually a self-propelled fusion machine that they laid it along. They did a trencher, miles of open trench, no traffic, no nothing. And then next to that, they laid 50-foot sections of the HDP. And this machine comes along, and it picks up the pipe, runs it inside the deal, shaves it, fusion welds it, tests it, cools it, and then has it go out the back. And he drives along, he does like 3,000 or 4,000 feet a day doing that. Well, that'd be great if we were out in Coolidge with a farm field that we're putting pipe in, but we're doing all the crazy things. So, unfortunately, couldn't have been a good option. But the material is good material.
Well, that's how it is.
This application is not conducive to it.
Yeah. If we have to go less than 50 or 80 foot lengths, it wouldn't be any better than using the other.
No. Yeah, the labor gets really bad.
We'd have to fuse.
Yeah, all this stuff.
Umpteen.
Well, good point though.
Any other comments? Jim, do you have anything to add?
Not currently.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Andrews.
Thanks, Paul.
Financial Manager's Report, Sharon.
What happened?
Glad you did. Yeah, right here.
Must be here. Yeah, it's short and sweet. Yeah.
Not short, but sweet.
And with the closing of the 5.03 million loan, the district can submit all costs for USDA project program management, interim finance, and legal things directly to USDA for reimbursement. Travel safe, Paul. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you, Paul.
Disbursement number 14 for the engineering design loan fees has been submitted when the funds are received, which should be shortly as we pay. We expect to start construction in the fall on USDA projects, including drilling of the well and Strawberry Well. I don't know which fall now. As far as the annual audit, we uploaded all the requested documents to the audit website for the year end. Audit staff was here on Monday and Tuesday of this week to review all requested items selected. They will be preparing an audit report as well as a federal audit for the USDA program.
Questions, comments?
It went very smoothly.
Very good. Treasurer's report.
George. Well, all the normal financial statements will be uploaded to the website for everybody to review. I would say, looking forward for me, and by the way, I do keep a budget for you, so you can see where you're at at all times. Okay, you're on the same time. Yeah. And besides looking at the operation budget, I'm also this year going to spend a little more time monitoring that capital project, which I think, yeah, you said you have some ideas. We probably need to put pen to paper and start figuring out how many ideas and the cost, so that we can, because we failed miserably at spending that budget last year. Well, not miserably, but we failed though at spending it. And if we can find things that can help, that's a lot easier money to spend than USDA stuff.
Right.
So that's really all I have. I reviewed all the expenditures, and we're still solvent. That's a good thing. Any questions?
Hearing none. Secretary's report.
None.
None. Next item, District Attorney's report. Steve, I apologize I didn't allow you to introduce yourself, but Steve, the floor is yours.
No, that's fine. I think I'm starting to get to know everyone, but for those of you who may not know, Steve Lean, I'm the attorney. I work with Lloyd Zellers and Hendricks. You know, the nice thing is when your lawyer is low key and doesn't have a lot to say, that's a good sign for the district, right? So I will tell you that things were pretty calm in the last month. Three issues that kind of come to mind. One was just a meter setting issue, and that all got worked out. probably need to follow up with Sharon, see where we are. We think that got done, at least from a legal standpoint. Everything was finished and worked pretty smoothly. The second is, I was able to look at some well acquisitions and start sending over forms to think about how we're going to do that. You know, basic stuff, bill of sale, deeds, things like that. Just those little documents that need to be filled out and addressed. So as we look to maybe acquire some well sites, there's nothing that I've been working on really yet that said, hey, here's an acquisition target and negotiated, but that may come. Third is recently we had looked at sending a letter off to senators to tap into some of the $4 billion money that are set aside in the federal government to assist usually rural communities with projects. This may be a good bit, so I will say that it's a good idea for the board to get your name and number out there. Let the senators know, whichever side of the aisle they're on, Democrat or Republican, really doesn't matter. They all want to hear from you, especially if there's things that they can help. When you've already had monies allocated and you've got good resources to benefit your state, and you can make a compelling case, that's what they want to hear. So wrote those letters, and well, I didn't write them, I just helped manage them and edit them a little bit, but we're good to go. And really, that's it, which is good for your lawyer. We don't want issues. So, like I said, if I'm speaking for 15 minutes, that's probably an issue. So, no issues.
Right. Thank you. Thank you, Steve.
That one issue regarding the meter did happen.
Oh, good. I wanted to follow up with you, so I'm glad that did. And and that had the potential to be a little nasty, but we got it resolved. I appreciate everybody's help in the office. Thank you.
Jim's report didn't get listed on here because it's under the same number as Paul's.
Oh,
awesome.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought I had a separate report.
All right, we'll get you here in a second. Okay, thank you, Steve. And regarding your recommendations on the letter to the senators, those are very good, and I passed that letter along to everybody here sitting here at the table only about 2 hours ago, eliciting their comments. I hope.
Yeah, and I'll make one statement on that. The letter I read was really, really a strong letter. I've had the misfortune or good fortune, depending on the way you look at it, to deal with water rights and any water rights settlements and things of that nature. So I've had quite a bit of experience working with senators and congressmen on things like this, you know, monies and federal dollars being allocated to the state. And the one thing that I do know is that the briefer, the better, one page letter, get it out there, get it known, and then they'll talk to you. So that's the reason that you'll see something pretty concise when it comes out of my office. It's going federal. We need to keep it brief. So
yeah, that was the engineer in me coming out.
It was a good letter.
You guys didn't see the first version of it. Steve bled all over my letter. So, but I like his response. So,
appreciate it.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody have anything else for Steve? Hearing none, we'll go to Jim. Jim, if you would do the operations manager report.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. Again, I'm Jim Baldwin. I just started as the field manager for the district. I'll be running the field operations from here on out. I'm going to start with some simple metrics. We had 8 leaks so far this month, 9 including today. 5 leaks were service lines, 4 were mainline repairs. Out of the main repairs, there was one leaking 6-inch valve that we replaced. And it came to about 180 hours of labor that went into the repairs this month. Water loss in July was 29% of the produced. 103,000 gallons were estimated from leaks that we know about. We did have 2 booster pumps go out of service at the Mill Branch site. It's a critical piece of production pine. Fortunately, we have been able to make do without it. when the failure first occurred in the first pump, I realized that we didn't have quite the stock that we needed to replace some of these things. So we have spares on the way and ordered. We're going to try to get that stocked up as soon as possible. Let's see, as far as production, new production in wells, we've discovered a few that may be good candidates for the rehabilitation. We're in talks with the contractors to get the wells pulled and videoed and see what kind of condition they're in. Some are from the 1960s. Some of these are pretty old, so we're going to see what kind of condition they're in. This past week, we purchased a box trailer. We can stage all of our road work tools and signs in, so that'll help speed up the mobilization and demobilization. It'll save some time and hours, especially after hours work if we're working on emergencies. And I'm also looking at getting some automation set up for some of the sites that require manual operation. We have to turn the wells, the boosters on and off to keep everything flowing correctly. So hopefully that'll cut down on after hours and overtime as well. So that's my report. Is there any questions?
Yes. How does the number of hours of labor, does that, during the summer or at other times of the year, does it increase, or how does it compare during the year? Yeah, in past
it really depends. Usually it's seasonal that we start having more leaks when it starts warming up.
And more people are here.
And we get the rains, more people are here. That's usually a heavier time. Also when the winter freezes come in and causes the earth to shift.
Okay, and comparing it to other years?
I believe it's better than past years based on the line replacements.
Okay.
I think the system's much better than it has been in past years.
Any other comments, questions?
Jim, the 29% water loss in July.
Yes.
So you said 103,000 gallons was the estimate from the leaks that occurred?
Yes.
What part of that 29% is that?
Well, the 29% was, I think, roughly around 3 million gallons. So that would be a very small percentage.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Of the overall unaccounted for.
Okay. Thanks.
Any other comments, questions?
Can we go to? I did fill out a yellow card.
That's coming up.
That'll be coming up. Yeah, we'll have the.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah. If you would just keep holding. Okay. Chairman's report. Ray, of course, is on vacation this week. He did a report. Let me just go over it briefly. Jim Baldwin. Jim, of course, introduced himself. He just came on with us a few weeks now. External communications, and I'm reading some of this. I haven't been a participant in myself, so I don't have all the details. But apparently, Michelle Ralston, Northern Arizona Outreaching Constituent Services Representative to Mark Kelly, attended the district's July board meeting. Discussions were held to discuss monies for a leak flyover. We're going to be talking about the leak flyover here in a few moments, so we'll give more details on that. She indicated she'll update Senator Kelly on our needs and progress. And as an ancillary to that, the letter that you guys received from me today on PSWID letterhead is just sort of a continuation of that cause to find money. You know, all we can do is ask, right?
Yeah.
Make sure we stay out in front with everybody to all of our constituents. And in the letter, I don't know if I mentioned this, but so it'll go a letter to Senator Sinema, a letter to Senator Kelly. Governor Ducey will receive his copy, and these are directly to them. And then the two candidates for governor, Katie Hobbs and Carrie Lake. Will also receive individual copies of that letter, just planting some seeds. That's all we can do, right? So at least they're aware of what our requests and our needs are. To continue, engineering planning meetings were held in August. I was not able to participate, I was out. Met with two well drillers after visiting the proposed site, stated that there was not enough room for the rig. We already discussed that here a few months ago. So it's back to the drawing board to try and find a suitable site to drill deep wells. Meeting was held with APS on 7/21 to discuss this as well in terms of how they can help us in terms of power for getting these deep wells installed. And they were very helpful and just waiting for us to give them another call. We will be submitting a claim to APS for damage to pumps and motors after the last power outage and surge, because we had some damage. I don't know the extent of all the damage, but I guess we're figuring that out.
Yeah, it was a few of the wells.
Was it? We lost motors?
Yes.
Okay. And did we lose drives as well?
I know the ones that were hooked up to the BFDs were actually okay.
They protected?
Yeah.
Okay. List of wells have been developed for deepening, confirming current depths, flow, encroachments to septic systems. Working on that, as a matter of fact, today. This list will also contain equipment at the site so that the proper inventory can be maintained for our existing sites. A meeting has been held with KP Ventures from Camp Verde, and they showed no interest in this activity. KP Ventures, I believe, is a drilling company, correct?
Yeah, they work with wells.
Yeah.
So you said no interest because here it says shown
interest. They have shown interest.
Oh, did I read that wrong?
We have a contract with them.
They have shown interest.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Forgive me. Training. The staff continues to study and prepare for water distribution certifications. And Jim, you're pursuing an online safety training program for ADWR. Jim mentioned we purchased an enclosed trailer, and we've also purchased booster pumps that have failed. I think there's two, correct?
Yes.
Two booster pumps failed recently, and you were able to locate them somewhere across the country, and they're on their way.
Yeah, we got one installed already, and we have another one on the way.
Okay. Will we be able to put those through a maintenance? The ones that are damaged, can we repair those? Is anybody willing to take those on, those pumps? Or are they trash?
They're outdated. Unfortunately, we can't get replacement parts for them, so we had to get some new up-to-date models.
So they're both active?
Yes.
Okay.
Subsequent to our meeting with the pump company the other day, as long as we buy and stock pumps that they sell, then they will install them when the time comes?
Yes.
But if we don't buy them from them, they won't install an inventory of pumps we buy anywhere.
Correct. But we fortunately were able to install, do most of the work ourselves in-house.
Oh, we were?
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
Is there any chance they'll keep a strategic inventory for us?
I hope so.
The next one, we ordered two, and one's 10 weeks out.
Well, I mean, some companies will, for a small fee, will keep things on hand, a certain amount on hand, so if you need them, have them immediately. That's what I was talking about. Some companies don't want to do that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I know that some of them do go a little bit above and beyond to get us something right away. So
probably standard ones. They would always have stocked. It's these outdated replacement ones that they're not going to have in stock.
Probably going to need those types of things.
Yeah.
A lot of times for a small fee, they'll say, okay, we'll keep a stocked inventory for you. If the need is there, it'll be great.
Yeah, I'm not aware of anything.
Any other questions, comments? Hearing none, we'll move on to item number six, general comments from the public. We have one person here in the office with us, and we have one online. We'll start with lady here up front, and then I'll ask a caller if you have any questions as well. 3 minutes is all we're allocating for it.
It could be less than that.
Okay, very good.
And please speak up because our mics are out today.
Okay,
so,
all right. Yeah. I don't understand the level of water, and I know that what goes on here, it can affect what's over there. So with what's happening with Lake Mead and other water problems within the state, does that affect wells in our community or other communities? Or But am I just making this up?
I would think because of where Lake Mead comes from.
Okay.
You know, it comes from the Grand Canyon and that.
Okay.
Our water does not come from that area. Claire, you can probably add to that.
Okay. Yeah. All of our water is basically perched aquifers.
Okay.
Which is up above anything to do with the the rest of the state, basically.
Okay.
So we're remote from those.
So the answer to your question would be no.
Okay.
Everything from the top of the rim to Winslow is really
where
our aquifer comes.
Okay. Yeah. And then we're at level 2 right now for water. Do you see that going lower or maintaining over the next months?
Over the next month?
Yeah.
It should be maintained at level 2.
Okay, for a while. Okay, my last question.
Although we do have a holiday weekend coming up, so.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it should be maintained at 2 for now.
Could it change from 2?
Yeah, plus it takes quite a wait time for that aquifer to replenish.
Yeah, because I do know there was nothing on the sign.
Yeah, we're getting the signs installed.
Right.
Well, the sign on Fossil Creek Road has said 2 all week.
It did today, though.
Yeah.
Oh, it does? It
does. The number was removed. Did they put it back up again?
It was on the back up. It came down, so.
Oh, okay. The wind knocked it down or something? They had to pick it up?
Oh,
when I looked, it wasn't there because I noticed it mentioned it to my wife. That's all. I just figured you were between.
And you talked about letters to our senators and things. What can we put in there? Not the engineer, like 3 pages long, but sorry.
That's all right.
As an English teacher, mine would be 8 pages long.
Yeah.
But can we have examples of something or what kind of questions do we ask?
I'll take that. One of the things that once this letter goes out, and it'll be about 3 weeks before the letter goes out, because our chairman also has to sign it. He and I are both signing it. He's on vacation,
okay.
So we must wait until he's back in about 2 weeks. Having said that, what I was going to ask of the rest of the board is for us to put a copy of that letter in our billing. Can it go out? Do we have a...
We can put it on the website.
Oh, actually, it's even better. Put it on the website. And yeah. You can mimic it. You can do what you wish, but... The objective is to get significant, in capital letters, significant money so we can get water out of C.C. Cragen.
And one of the, and I think as we talked about a couple of months ago, the more people of us, the community, say things to senators or other government people, the more it means with their little tick marks, oh, this person called, this person wrote.
I would encourage it.
Yes, okay. And so
we would encourage
yes, that encouragement to go out through the water bills or whatever would be good for all of us.
Yeah.
And especially the people that use their cabins to rent out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
We can put a statement on the billing invoices that says, please see the website for information regarding letters to the senators type stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, if we get 7,000 residents write 7,000 letters, we might get some attention.
And maybe something like that could even go, just the mention of that at the market, which is
where... Yes, we could post mm-hmm. there.
Yeah, just something like there or wherever people hang around.
Good idea. We ought to put the letter in a big sign format.
Yeah.
So it's easy to read as you're in the store, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Mild idea.
Okay.
We'll think about some other ideas.
Okay.
Thank you.
And just as a comment, I would help to finance things like that if that's needed. Okay.
We're fine. Thanks.
Okay.
All right. Color. Pam. We have a singular color.
Pam.
It doesn't say Pam. Oh, Pam. Pam showed up. Okay. Or came back. We have 2. Color 1. Well, Pam, we'll get you next.
Color 1 said Corey.
That's Corey.
Oh, that is Corey. Forgive me. Okay. So it is Pam. Pam, the floor is yours if you have any questions.
Hold on. Yeah, I do. Gentlemen and ladies, with the news that's come out about the well sighting has to be somewhere else and you're investigating existing wells and also looking at other well sites, I would also like to say that the Water Enhancement Committee would be happy to participate if required. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I think that's it for the public comments section. So we'll move on to item number 7, old business. Number 1, discuss and take possible action regarding the Astera program. Sharon.
Yes, we discussed this last month, and we actually, the board actually approved the funding. Between that period of time, I worked with Michelle Ralston from Senator Kelly's office to see if we could get some kind of grant funding to help us pay for this, and I was not successful. So right now I'm asking the board to make a motion for the chairman or vice chairman to execute the $57,000 proposal for the Astera so the district can move forward with this project.
Comments?
Now the 57 was the two flyovers, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, they're 6 months apart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do we get a report after each flyover?
Yes.
You get a report and you also get some ground service that goes with it where they help locate it.
Yeah.
Now, the thing to keep in mind is they're only accurate 50% of the time. That's one thing. And two, there is a possibility that they can find water leaks that we already know exist.
Yeah. But they may find more besides that.
So. Yeah, I mean, we have quite a bit of loss, 29%, but we can't with certainty say it's all from leaks.
Mm-hmm.
It could be stolen water too, if we find that.
But it would probably find connections. Illegal connections.
No. Not unless they're leaking. I asked them about that. They're looking, what they're doing is they have an algorithm. They look at it from, it's not even a flyover, it's actually a satellite.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They look at it and they're able to detect minute parts of chlorine. Matter of fact, they adjust their algorithm to your particular type of water. They have to know what you put in it and everything. If you don't have chlorine in there, what they'll do is they'll look for other elements in there. So what they're doing is basically looking at a ground penetrating radar that's able to figure out if the water's been treated. And it goes down, I guess, 6-8 feet, something like that.
10 feet.
It's pretty deep. So they can determine if leaks are there. Good thing is with chlorine, of course, as you know, it dissipates pretty quick, so it has to be pretty fresh, right? Or else the chlorine signature would go away.
Right.
So that's basically what they're doing.
And that's what a flyover does?
It's actually a satellite.
It's a satellite.
Oh, okay. And how do people steal water?
Yes.
Yeah. Connect to our lines.
Connect right in the middle of the night.
And they don't have a meter set in it.
So. Yeah, I understand. There used to be like 7 different water companies, and this stuff could have happened 20 years ago, right?
Are these individuals or are these?
What we found in the past, and I don't know if David left you a lot of information on that, but it's a variety of things. As they're fixing lines, they'll find taps that go to nowhere. Into someone's yard and they cut them off at that time.
We really haven't found any, I don't think, right?
Just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. We found a lot of them actually over the last.
Were actually being used?
Well, we don't know where they go. We don't actually follow where they go. Yeah, we just cut it off. If someone complains, you know.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask Steve, with your experience in the water industry, have you ever, any of your clients used Astera? And if yes, what was their experience with the product and the engineering they provided them?
No, I haven't had clients use it.
Okay.
Haven't seen it.
Okay.
The question I have is, would this be more effective during the drier weather so they can pick up the leaks easier than, right now the ground's saturated. I don't know whether they'd accomplish anything right now.
According to them, because I did ask some of those questions, that's not a significant issue because of what they're trying to detect. Hmm. I'd say my biggest hesitance is when I look at the cost benefit analysis of it, we can't really say it's going to save us a lot of money or save us a lot of water. It may be tremendous.
Yeah.
And that, and it's only a one-time deal. I mean, mm-hmm. you get two of them, but a year from now, those a lot of new pipes could crack, mm-hmm. and we wouldn't know. So it's a one-time deal.
Yeah. Well, at least they'd put a stake in the ground, and we'd have some idea.
Yeah.
Well, the good thing is, once we find out what they find, then we can probably put a savings cost to it.
Yeah.
Which mm-hmm. wouldn't be a bad idea to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was impressed with it. I looked at it. They had a number of presentations.
They have videos to watch.
Yeah, they're sending to me like every week now.
Don't do that.
I get it every time because I'm
not on their list yet, I guess. Okay, any further discussion? Okay, there's a motion on the table to approve the contract.
I second that.
In the amount, what is the amount?
$57,000.
$57,000, okay.
Well, this is just a motion to go forward with because we've already approved that, I believe.
Yeah, to move forward with it, yeah.
Okay, I make a motion that we move forward with the steer.
Actually, Larry has already.
Oh, I second.
Larry
has already.
Yeah. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Any opposed? Motion passes for to move forward with it.
Corey, do you have a comment?
No, I just said aye. I probably lagged a little bit.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, move on. Excuse me, move on to item 8. Identify potential agenda items for the next scheduled board or directors meeting on September 22. So this would be to help Larry out with his agenda. Any thoughts?
Larry, I'm going to probably put something on the agenda and I'll send it to you. Large capital purchases over $10,000, doing analysis on how it's going to cost benefit type analysis. Mm-hmm. So we have a history of why we bought it and what we expect to save from it, which would require, I got the form already done, but it would require some changes to the current rules on that. So I'll probably want to get that on. I'll
send it to you.
Corey, you have anything?
No, sir. Thank you for asking.
Okay.
When do you want the response back on that, on your letter?
Oh, my letter? In the next 2 weeks. You have 2 weeks to respond because Ray won't be back for 2 weeks.
Yeah,
so a little bit less than that because if Ray wants to make any changes, or you guys want some changes, give us some time to put them in the document.
Yeah.
Get them all printed out and over here for Ray's signature and mine, of course.
Yeah, I'll be on vacation next week, and so I may not be able to respond for a little bit.
Okay. Anybody have any other thing? Sharon, you have anything for next month's agenda?
Not at this moment.
Okay. I know I will not be here. I'll be on vacation during that period of time. So
put your vacation on the calendar.
It is.
Okay, you leave
it on. Oh, it is on the calendar. Absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay. Item number 8, motion to adjourn.
Aye, so moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And meeting is officially closed.